Welcome to the Court of Three podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Lisa Breedlove.
And I'm Spencer Breedlove.
And our mission on this podcast is to inform your mind, inspire your heart, and to ignite your joy. Whether in your marriage, your family, or at work, we hope the things we talk about here can empower you to live life to the fullest.
So Lisa, on this week's episode, we are going to talk about the great I wills.
The great I wills.
Yeah.
Not like Will I Am.
Not like Will
Smith.
I Am.
Smith.
Okay. No.
Okay.
The great I wills.
The great I
wills.
These
are statements.
Got it.
These are statements.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. The great I wills.
Okay.
So before we do that, though, do you have a question of the day
or would you rather, or
what you got?
No, it is a question of the day. This is a good one. You can use this, parents, around the dinner table to ignite conversation with your children, which we all know is sometimes a hard thing. So if we make it fun, and I have found just in my interaction with kids of all ages, questions are a good way to get the conversation started. So here's your question of the day. If you found a magic lamp, you rubbed it and out pops a genie, what would your three wishes be? And I'll just go ahead and clarify. You can't wish for more wishes and things like that. Just three wishes. Quickly, off the top of your head, what would your three wishes be?
I would wish that I would have a beach house for you.
These are supposed to be your wishes, honey.
Your wishes are my wishes.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's sweet. Okay, you get points.
I would wish that I could play Augusta National.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I would wish that... This is a third one. This one's hard.
For you.
For me.
Think yourself. What would you wish?
Mm.
It's harder than you think.
It is harder than I think.
Because it's like three wishes.
Yeah, it's like three wishes, but then it's like selfish. Okay, yeah, I got
it. Be wise. Choose wisely.
I would wish that you would be healed.
Oh, that was sweet. I wasn't meaning for this to be super deep. Okay.
That you wouldn't be losing your eyesight. That you will always have your eyesight.
Thank you. That was sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my three wishes.
Okay.
I would wish for a beach house. I was going to say that I could live at the beach.
Sure.
That's my first wish.
Mm-hmm.
Number two wish is that I would have the ability to travel anywhere in the world that I wanted.
Okay.
Because I'd still like to go to a lot of places.
Right.
And see a lot of things. And I love to travel. And then my third one, I want to die on the same day you die.
Oh, wow.
I know, but that is
those
kind of
were
a wish
some,
of mine.
Some serious wishes.
I know.
It'd be like in the Notebook.
Yes.
Like they both died together.
You know that is my, yeah.
Yeah, you cry every time.
I know.
Every time you cry
I
in that
know.
Movie.
I can't help it.
And it's kind of like me crying in Rudy.
Except yours is about football.
Of course, mine's about football. And when he gets carried
mine's
off.
Mine's about love.
So is that one.
No.
Rudy
not
is
the
a
same.
Lot.
Not
Rudy is all about
the
love.
Same level.
It's a love.
Okay. Well, I do think you get points for, you used one of your wishes on me. That was really sweet.
I used
sweet.
Two of them.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, that was really sweet.
Thank you.
It must mean I'm getting a beach house, though, that we both wish for.
So...
Okay.
So that was more.
Those are good questions.
That was, you know, going back to last week's, that was more of a putt.
Oh, yeah, scored. Yeah, you got points on the scorecard.
Mm-hmm, I did get points.
That was under par.
That, yes.
That was like an eagle.
That was like an eagle.
Yeah. See, I got the golf
that
terminology
is.
Down. Okay. How about some updates?
Oh, that was the only question? That was a pretty good question.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay.
Yeah. So, updates. So, Lizzie had her senior night the other night.
She did.
For soccer, last one.
That was crazy. That got me kind of a little bit.
It did?
Yeah, because this is our last child.
Okay.
And this was the last sport she's doing. And I just say sport because that's what our family has done. Our right. kids have all played sports. So that's how I relate it. Like basketball, she still had soccer coming. And it was like, oh, yeah, it's senior night for basketball. Okay. Right. And yes, okay, maybe I won't see her on a court again. I don't know if I will.
Not maybe on a court.
Intramurals or something so. Like that. I don't know. But then, right, then the soccer field, and it was like, ooh, that was the last home regular season. Now we're hoping to host for, you know, state, but
yeah,
we'll see. And we got to see her play a little bit today. So, you know, it, as I talk to parents of seniors, there are those moments that you get emotional,
mm-hmm.
but yet I just believe that it's overwhelmingly just good emotions. It's, yeah, maybe a little twinge of a sadness that it's our last one that's about to leave the nest, or maybe it's your first one that's about to go off and, you know, start a new chapter. But overwhelmingly to me, it's good. Like, this is what we raise them for.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited. I like to be excited for what God is doing in these young adults' lives, mm-hmm. and where he's going to take them to next, and how he's going to use them right. next. I think that's good stuff. So,
and who knows? There may be a little more of an opportunity to watch her play.
Yeah, that's
at the next level.
True.
At the next
maybe.
Level. I mean, after today.
Maybe.
Getting to take her to the ID camp at Georgia College.
She did. We were really proud that she's maybe stepped out of her comfort
that.
Zone and said, yeah, I want to try this, and made some good connections with coaches. She played, you know, to the best of her ability, I'm sure, because she always gives it her best. Maybe made some new friends. It was a good experience. She was telling us on the ride home just things she could even take back to her high school team, you know, mm-hmm. some of the what drills that they were doing.
Yeah.
Warm-ups.
So we'll see.
Cool. Yeah, that was
we'll
cool.
see. I think she has an interest now of being able to play at the yeah, collegiate level.
Maybe.
And that would be pretty cool to watch
it would
her play.
Be cool. It would be cool.
At that level.
Yes.
It really would be.
I've always said that's one of my greatest joys is to watch my kids do something that they love.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of ours has been sports because all of our kids have loved sports.
She's had a good season.
Yeah.
And it's been fun to watch her play. And
it has.
She's gotten a lot better. She's fast. She's got good footwork. She's
taken some leadership roles that I know doesn't. No, she's none of our kids.
None of them.
Have been afraid.
And while we were down there in Millersville today, yeah. it was really good to be with the people at the church at Millersville.
It was.
And my friend Taylor Tom, who's the pastor, or church planting down there, and getting to see Will and Carly. And it brought back a lot of memories of church planting.
Oh, yes.
And what we had experienced.
Yes.
Man, I tell
the
you.
The tough parts.
Oh, yeah, the tough parts.
But yet the sweet
school.
Parts. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, getting in there and getting stuff set up, things going wrong, things going well.
A it's lot like, falls on the pastor.
A lot falls on the pastor.
Yes. Yes. But you're raising people up, and it seems like they're doing a good job. It was sweet to be there.
It really was.
And then even saw some old friends. I mean,
yeah.
a childhood friend of yours, and then a student that I taught 12 years ago.
Right.
They're plugged in. It's just, that was sweet.
It was really good.
That was sweet.
To be there. That it was. Now, before we jump into what we're really going to talk about.
Yes.
You had a rant.
What was my rant? Oh, I just.
You
I
had
just,
a rant.
I don't know, women. I just think that. I think we need to make sure that we were teaching our boys some things. I don't know how my husband missed this, because I am pretty sure, Spencer, your mother did not allow this. But for some reason, it really bothers me here lately. Spencer has this very bad habit of spitting. It's a habit. Call it what it is, because you don't have to do it. But it's like every so often Spencer says, he just spits.
Sure.
I mean, it can come flying from nowhere. He just spits.
If you're in your truck or if you're outside.
No, but I'm walking beside you on the sidewalk. You do not have to spit. I think it's very rude. And I think we should teach our boys. And I'm pretty sure. No, I'm pretty sure your mother taught you. And we can teach them at appropriate times. Okay, you're on the baseball field, soccer field, football. Okay, I know. Sure. Whatever. But when you're walking with your wife, when you are walking in a crowd of people, when you're walking out in public about to go into a restaurant, we don't hot loogies on the sidewalk.
Well, if it comes for people to step in, you got to spit it out.
No, you go to the bushes.
No.
You go over to the bushes.
No.
You go over to the dirt.
No.
Yes.
No, listen.
Not on the sidewalk where people walk. It's rude.
When the moment comes that you...
I disagree.
...hawk up a loogie and it has consistency...
Look, you don't have to tell me this.
Then it becomes a competition of, I wonder how far I can shoot this thing out of my mouth.
Yeah, that's exactly what you did today on the bleachers of the soccer game. I see this glob heading westward at about 10 miles an hour.
It's going faster than that.
I was like, what in the world?
And I forgot that there were people behind
me. Yeah. I'm so embarrassed. So embarrassed. Okay.
But when
it's not okay. And I'm praying for Spencer. There are three prayers I'm praying for Spencer. That's one of them.
What are the other two?
Well, I'm not telling right now.
Why not?
I already told you what the other was.
What?
That you would leave your phone alone when you're driving. And so far, I challenged you to go one day.
Well,
it's been 4 days and you haven't done it yet.
I got to turn the music on.
No, you do that before you take off. Look, if you have to practice what you preach.
Then I
want to
listen to a podcast.
Then start it before you go.
But then I want to listen to music.
Nope.
Maybe the podcast ends in 10 minutes and I want to listen to something else.
You wait till you're stopped. You don't do it going down the road.
I usually wait till I'm stopped.
No, you don't. He doesn't.
Don't throw me on
your nose is growing, Pinocchio.
What's the other prayer?
I forgot.
You said three.
I know, but I forgot. It's in my journal, in my prayer journal.
Oh, it's in your journal.
I'm serious about my prayers. I really need you to stop spitting.
Did you write that one in your journal?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
And about getting off the phone.
You're
Those
lying.
Are legit prayers.
You lying. You didn't write that one in your journal.
I'm praying for you, honey.
Oh, thanks.
I'm praying.
I'm praying for you, too.
I'll let you know the other ones.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on.
So we're going to talk about the great I wills?
Yes.
Is that what we're going to do?
That's what you said.
Okay. So there is a huge difference between the statements, I will try, and I will.
Huh.
Anytime I've ever heard or seen a goal prefaced with the words, I will try, it always indicated to me that the goal setter was creating space for failure.
Huh. Because of that little word, try.
A little word, try.
Okay.
I will, the statement, I will, is much more definitive, committed, and intentional. Now, I'm on this point because of what King David said in Psalm chapter 9, 1 and 2. Now, you and I have been going through a chronological Bible reading plan this year. And in our reading plan, we are in this place where the kingdom of Israel is in a divided state. Mm-hmm. Saul King Saul is now dead. The next person in line is David, but there is a lot of division. There is some civil unrest at this point. And David has been being pursued by Saul because he was threatened, or he was a threat to Saul, and Saul had disobeyed the Lord, had basically lost favor with God, but yet he was still in a place of authority that God had put him. God hadn't taken
him out
of that. He was going to die. That was the way.
Yes.
That was his way out of being
a
king.
And God wasn't going to continue the kingdom.
But the line was not going to continue on through King Saul. Well, David hears of Saul's death, and there's sorrow, there's grief. His best friend was Jonathan, Saul's son. He's died now in battle. So David is experiencing grief. He's experiencing sorrow. He's experiencing emotional turmoil. He's experiencing, there was a point in time when his own men wanted to turn against him because of what had happened with their families. And here these guys had been following David all along. Something goes wrong, and they were ready to stone him and take him out. So David was really at a point in his life where he was heartbroken. There was grief. There was sadness. There was struggle. There was probably, I don't know if there was ever any doubt in David's life, but he was not in this place of happy-go-lucky, everything is great, look at my kingdom and what I have accomplished. He was not like, I mean, David's life was hard, right?
Yes.
It was hard.
His rise to kingship was hard. It was not, I mean, you think, oh, woo, you're going to get to be king of Israel, but it wasn't a smooth ride.
I mean, he was chased.
An easy road.
He was chased all the way into the very country of which he killed their champion, Goliath.
He hid out in the enemy nations of Israel, his people, the enemy nations.
Yeah.
He had to live there.
His own country.
He had to live there for years.
His own countrymen.
Yes.
Was a far worse enemy.
Yeah. Right. Trying to hunt him down and pursue him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you get to this place in Psalm chapter 9, and David says this. He says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. And so he makes these I will statements. I love what my friend Brian Holland said this. Because I had sent this out to pastors and ministry friends today about this particular passage, just to let them know about, you know, that how steely David was in his commitment to these things, and I sent this out really as an encouragement to those ministry friends,
sure,
and encouraging them to be steely in their I wills, you know. And Brian, he said that tiny little word try is man's way of saying, I want to be in charge. But if we use David's words, I will, that indicates that we are under God's authority using his power. I will give thanks. I will recount. I will be glad. I will sing praise. Not I will try to give thanks, or I will try to recount, or I will try to be glad, or I will try to sing praise. Like, it's up to you. it is really more about I will, because of who God is in me, give thanks. I will, because of what God has done, recount what he's done. I will be glad. It was just this steely determination, committed, this is what I'm going to do. And these are all choices that you make. I choose to be glad. I choose to give thanks. I choose to remember. I choose to sing. They're all choices.
Right. Well, okay, just a little English. So will and shall are the only future tense helping verbs. Like there's a lot of present, a lot of past. There's only two that are interchangeable, will and shall. We don't really use shall. That's kind of old English. So that's the only future tense. And I think I love that you're using David, because I do think that in David's writings, in him saying, I will, it's a proclamation. And he's proclaiming that for the future, that right now, and I'm going to keep doing it, is the connotation, I believe, with future tense. Like this is, I'm proclaiming this on and on and on. And David is commanding these actions. Like he's commanding his heart to act in these ways, his mind to act in these ways.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
His spirit to act in these ways, and proclaiming it for now and future.
Mm-hmm.
By saying, I will. The try almost keeps you stuck in just the here and now, right here today.
It softens it.
It does.
It puts a hole in it.
It doesn't give you a vision for future.
Yeah, it gives you a way out is what it does.
Yeah.
It just gives you it gives you a scapegoat.
Yeah.
And it weakens the commitment. It weakens the meaning of it. It devalues giving thanks. It devalues remembering. It devalues the song. It devalues all of it. And, you know, David was very clear that regardless of my circumstances, this is what I'm going to do. And it wasn't that he was doing it in his own strength, in his own power. He was doing it under the power and the authority of God.
Yes, that's the key.
That's what he's doing.
Sure.
So my question is, how can you employ these I will statements into your life and marriage? How can you take these and employ them? And I think it's important to know, first of all, that these statements, these are not goals to set, but they're disciplines to practice.
Say that again.
They're not goals to set, they're disciplines to practice.
Yeah. These are not like New Year resolutions.
No, these aren't resolutions. Yeah. These are spiritual disciplines that you practice, that you put into practice.
You're being intentional to develop.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Much like athletes develop skills.
Yes.
Whether if it's swinging a baseball bat, throwing a ball, dribbling with your feet, if you're in basketball, how you your ball handling skills and with your hands, your passing. All of those things goes back to what we talked about last week with Tiger Woods making 1,000 contacts with a ball, you know, every day.
Discipline.
It's the discipline. It's the practice of these things. It's the practice of thanksgiving. It's the practice of gratitude. It's the practice of recounting. It's the practice of being glad and choosing gladness. Are you going to have times of sorrow? Yeah, you're going to have times of sorrow. Those are going to happen. It's going to be there. But choose gladness. Even in sorrow, you can choose gladness. Not easy. But okay, you can do it.
So you said first that they're not goals, but they're disciplines that we need to practice. What's second?
Well, the second is that you got to recognize the object of each of these I will statements. The object of each I will is the Lord God Almighty. It's not self. Uh-huh.
Who are we giving thanks to? Who are we recounting?
Yeah, it's not. It's not.
That has done for us.
It isn't
Why
about
are
you.
We glad? And who do we sing praise to?
It's not about you.
Right.
It's about our Creator. It's about the Lord God.
And He's worthy of those things.
Yep.
Yes.
So one of the things that, as I thought about this, these I will statements, the one that really stuck out to me was, you know, I mean, we've all heard, I will give thanks, I will be glad, I will sing praise. But the one that really stood out to me was, I will recount. Well, I think that word means two things. Number one, I will remember what the Lord has done, but I will also recount. I will number what God has done in my life. And I think when you look back and you see what all God has done and you begin to number it, it begins to increase your faith in such a way that reinforces your belief and your trust in the Lord Almighty, because He's never failed and He's not going to start failing. And when you look back and you recount what He's done and how He's done it, then as you move forward and looking ahead, you know for sure that, man, the Lord is with you and He's for you and He's got you. And He is going to be faithful.
Mm-hmm. I remember somebody challenging, it's been a few years, I can't remember who did this, but challenged whatever the group that I was in to actually do that, to not just say, yes, God's helped me, I know He's been with me through some hard times, but be specific. And we had a piece of paper or index card and actually start writing. And then, you know, they said, okay, time's up. And people were like, wait, I'm still going, because we were actually recounting. We were numbering those times, being specific of, this is what He did. This is where He showed up. This is how He provided. This is where He taught me. This is where He grew me.
Mm-hmm.
And actually numbering those things, that was very powerful. That still sticks out in my mind. And a lot of times in my journal, I do just start to try to be a little more specific than just a generalization of, okay, God was with me one other time that was similar to this, but actually name them and count them. I like that. That's good.
Yep.
It's like those Ebenezers that you lay, those markers, and you do it for remembrance because He has brought you thus far.
What was the definition of the Ebenezer? A stone of help? No.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Yes.
A stone of help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thus far has He brought me. Yep. And that's the stone of remembrance that God was who our help is.
Mm-hmm. So in your life, in your marriage,
how can we employ these?
Yeah, how can we employ these?
All right. What do you have?
Well, as I think about it, I think number one, singing together is always a good thing.
It is good.
You know, finding a song to worship together with, singing together, and being reminded that the Lord is worthy of our praise, not just individually, but in our marriage, the Lord is worthy of our praise.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, are you moving on to another one?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, I think, you know, the first I will statement was, I will give thanks. And I think it's very important to give thanks for our spouse, for our helpmate, for the gift of marriage, because it is a gift, and to be thankful for who our spouse is. They're not perfect. We've already covered that.
Yeah, true.
That we all have faults, but yet they have a lot of good qualities as well. And naming those things and being thankful for the way they provide, or the way they support, the way they encourage, the way they balance you, the way they do this, do that. Just being specific and giving thanks for who God has placed us with to do life together.
And not just in the giving thanks, but being thankful together and sharing in the thanksgiving is such a critical discipline that you can employ in
it
your
is.
Marriage
I
together.
Think we tend to do it
separately.
We've also come together. You're saying doing it together, mm-hmm. being thankful together. We've tended to do it maybe at like an anniversary mm-hmm. or holiday, end of the year or something. Mm-hmm. And we always try to take time to reflect and say, what are the things to be thankful about? And usually one of us reminds the other one of something maybe that we didn't think about. So that's important, to give those thanksgivings together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then also to talk about the ways that God has worked.
Yes.
In your life.
Uh-huh.
Even going back, you know, for us, we can go back 30 years and we can see and we can track what God has done. And then that gives us strength looking ahead at the next 30 years of our life.
Yeah.
Over, you know, what we envision God doing. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I believe the next 30 years are going to be even better than the first 30.
Hmm. Me too. But it's important. And sometimes those things that you recount, you know, sometimes it's you listen to me and me saying, this is what he's done, what he's shown me, what he's taught me. This is how I grew. Sometimes it's you sharing those things. And sometimes it's us together as husband and wife or mom and dad of the family. And we recount what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
So those are, that's what's on my heart, is those great I wills, and not shirking back to say, oh, I will try, but being more definitive and more committed in terms of the spiritual disciplines of gratitude, remembering, praising, and, you know, just being glad for the hard times and the not so hard times.
Yes, making these future proclamations over your life.
Right.
Yeah.
So the challenge for our listeners would be that when you set a goal, or if you set a spiritual discipline, that you be committed to the growth part of it. And stay the course on being grateful, expressing gratitude, being glad, singing praise to the Lord. Also, when you experience the hard, be thankful. When you're sad, be glad. I mean, practice those things. It's not going to be easy, but you're going to have to practice them if you're going to develop them. And the more you develop them, I'm not saying it gets easier, but it becomes part of the spiritual disciplines and the habit of, and you're growing and you're moving in a healthy, spiritually healthy direction when the difficult times do come.
Well, I think the key goes back to, like you said, it's who our object is. It's the Lord God Almighty. And if we're sad, if it's tough times, whatever it is, you said we're trying to turn it into the gladness and the recounting and the praising and thanking Him. I think to do that, we replace it. It's not that I just say, oh, I'm going to be glad instead of sad.
Right.
But it's focusing on God and who He is and His character and His faithfulness, His steadfast love, and then replacing my sadness, my turmoil, whatever it is, ungratefulness, replacing it with these I will statements. Yep. And maybe just pick one that you want to focus on for a little while and then develop that discipline. And when maybe you feel like, okay, I'm practicing this one pretty good, then maybe move to another I will statement.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good word.
Reading the Psalms will encourage you as well. So much of what David wrote, I believe, is exactly what this is. He, again, like I said earlier, he would command his heart to sing praises. Come on, my soul. And yes.
That's a good word, Lisa. Well, folks, thank you so much for listening. We hope that this week's podcast has been a great encouragement to you. And if it has, please leave us a review. One of the best things you can do is share it with your friends or family and encourage them with the things that we talk about here. And if there's ever anything we can do for you, you can always reach us on our email at spencer@thecourtof3.com, or you can always check us out online at thecourtof3.com. That's where our podcast is hosted. You can connect with us on Instagram or on Facebook. We'd love to connect with you there.
We appreciate you listening and love the encouragement that you are faithful to send our way. And remember
that two are better than one,
and a cord of three strands is not easily broken.